The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Now, Pete Wedderburn, Pete the Vet, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What is this about dogs preferring electric cars?
I think it's a great little study that was done in the UK where they took 20 dogs and they put them, first of all, in an electric car, and then an hour later they put them into a diesel car and they took them for a drive. And what they did is they monitored them with cameras, and they also had heart rate monitors on them. And it's not really surprising when you think about it. Basically, in the diesel car, they were more restless. They were standing up, sitting down more, and the heart rate was higher. And by the way, heart rate correlates to motion sickness in dogs. So they didn't like diesel cars so much. In the electric car, they spent more time lying down. They had a lower heart rate, and they were clearly more comfortable. But I think that just ties in with what we all know about traveling in different types of vehicles. It's a lovely ride in an electric car, isn't it?
It's very smooth. There's no vibration from the internal combustion engine, because no matter how good they are, they have to. The engine does vibrate. It has to be dampened down. In the expensive cars, the damping is very good. In, say, a van, the damping is very bad.
Exactly, exactly. And dogs are very, very sensitive to such things. You have to remember, dogs don't know what's happening. Like, we at least know we're getting into a car and we know that it's going to be a little bit bumpy or whatever, and we expect it, whereas dogs just do what we ask them to do. And they, you know, for them, it must seem very, very strange.
The next generation of dogs, those dogs born after 2030, will have a smooth ride.
And by the way, if people do have dogs that are prone to motion sickness, the best way around that, paradoxically perhaps, is to get them used to being in the car. So from when they're puppies onwards, short trips often, that way they don't at least have the fear of unfamiliarity, and they're likely to travel much, much better. Yeah. But you might not have to worry about that so much in the future with your electric car.
If you're electric. Now, I wanted to talk briefly about dogs following that horrific attack on that young boy. Now, the case is before the court, so we won't discuss it. But it did raise discussion about the various breeds of dog and what might be in their DNA. And I'm fascinated by this because when I look at my own English setter, for example, you know, never got to hunt at all, but knows how to hunt, knows how to set, knows how to stand up in his back legs and have a look over the long grass. No one taught him that. It was built in. Or a bird, hatched in an egg, never taught to build a nest, can build a nest based on its DNA. So, dogs that are prone to bite, it may well be in their DNA.
Well, the reason why different breeds are prone to, or have different sort of natural characteristics like you describe, is they've been selected for those characteristics over the years. And I don't think it's fair to say that particular breeds have been selected to deliberately so they're aggressive to human beings. I mean, of course, pit bulls, as an example, are dogs that were originally bred to be fighting dogs. So certainly there's something there. But, you know, I think when people jump to breed, if you like, as the cause of dog attacks, they're only addressing one part of a really, really complex jigsaw. You know, aspects like early puppy socialization, ongoing dog training. You're meant to train your dog every day for 15 minutes for the life of the dog if you want a well-behaved dog. People have to address minor behavioral issues rather than letting a dog away with certain things, and then suddenly there's apparently a big problem. Well, it's not suddenly. There's actually been building up over a while, and it wasn't addressed. You also have to look at the socioeconomic situation. I think one of the big mistakes we make whenever there's a dog attack is we just jump. We have a knee-jerk reaction, and people tend to go breed, 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 and that's completely illogical. It's a really, really complex jigsaw. And what really ought to happen in this sort of situation is we ought to do a forensic analysis of exactly what led up to this. And once that's been done, then a report should be produced as to exactly what happened. And then we can say, okay, what do we need to do? In this, the breed-specific education in the UK has been a disaster. It hasn't reduced dog attacks, and this led to loads of lovely dogs being locked up simply because they have a particular genetic makeup, even though they have lovely behavior. So it's not an answer.
But the problem is the unpredictable behavior of a dog. You hear it again and again. My dog is lovely, never harmed anybody. And then suddenly it bites a child. Now, it may not be, of course, a fatal bite or anything like that. But still, why did the dog do that suddenly out of the blue? And it may be, you know, the favorite pet. It may not be one of the breeds on the list.
But when, of course, and the most common dogs to bite people are actually the most common dogs that are kept. It's kind of like a universal thing that some, unfortunately, dogs bite as part of their repertoire of behavior. I think a single dog bite, a single snap, is very, very different to this type of dog attack, which is an entirely different kind of experience. It's very common for dogs to snap. And actually, often when there's a snap from a dog, humans have been involved. They've been approaching the dog. They haven't been reading the dog's body language. And I'm not blaming humans for that. I'm just saying that that's, if you do videos, if you look at videos of dog bite incidents, very, very commonly, you can look at what's happening and say, look what that human's doing and look how that dog's body is. You can tell there's a discomfort in the dog's part. And if a human was aware of the body language of the dog, they would stop right there instead of keeping on doing what they're doing. So really, it's a very complex situation, and it's wrong to try to just jump to a quick answer as being a cure-all. It's not nearly as simple as that.
Pete Wedderburn, Pete the Vet, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.